بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 25th of May in the year 2022 and الحمدللہ we moved on to the 13th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu. So moving chronologically on, entitled The Glorious Battle of Badr. In the second year after the Hijrah, news faithfully reached Al-Madinah that a huge caravan of the Quraysh was now returning from Syria to Makkah, carrying enormous wealth belonging to its residents. 1,000 camels loaded with goods and led by Abu Sufyan radiyallahu with a company of men not exceeding 30 or 40. So Abu Sufyan, like I mentioned, he eventually became the chief of the unbelieving Quraysh. Tradesman, he's coming back with 1,000 camels and only 30 or 40 are guarding. The blow received by the people of Makkah who had lost their property and wealth was painful indeed. And the wealth of this caravan alone would be sufficient compensation for the losses the Muslims sustained during the Hijrah. So in other words, when the Sahaba migrated, their wealth, property was taken. This caravan had so much wealth by itself, it would compensate them. Our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assessing the situation, he said, "Here is the caravan of the Quraysh containing their riches. So go out and intercept it. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you as spoils." This is in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, Ibn Kathir's Seerah, volume 2, page 253 of the English translation. He states with a Sahih general transmission. So it clearly mentions here in this Sahih report that the intention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when going out was to intercept the caravan. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus did not order anybody to go along, nor did he urge anyone who had remained behind. It was clear he had not planned a fully armed encounter with the unbelieving Quraysh, a fight which can be clearly ascertained from many reports. So obviously very important to highlight, this battle was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention was the caravan. So to quote a proof. So this is recorded in Ibn Mardawih, Ibn Abi Hatim, Al-Bidayah, volume 3, page 263. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 6, page 73 to 4. He comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 60 to 1 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, whilst we were all still in Al-Madinah, I have been informed regarding the caravan led by Abu Sufyan radiyallahu. It is approaching. It is within striking range. Are you thus now prepared to go out to it that happily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give us spoils from it? So what's key? The key point here is Rasulullah has not left Al-Madinah. He mentions that he's still in Al-Madinah. And he's saying the caravan's in striking range. Are you willing to go for it? We responded, yes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus he set out and we went out with him. Thereafter, after we had traveled for a day or two, he said to us, what is your opinion regarding the people, i.e. the Quraysh? For they have now been informed that you have set out, i.e. to intercept their caravan. We responded, no, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not able to fight the enemy, i.e. for our force is small. We only intended the caravan. He thereupon asked again, what do you now think about fighting the people, i.e. the Quraysh? We responded similarly. So stop in the report. So the key point so far, Rasulullah in Al-Madinah, before he's even left the holy city, he's intending the caravan. He sets out 1 or 2 days travel. Now he's got news. And what's the news? The unbelievers have found out and they're sending a force. So the Prophet asked them, what do you think about the Quraysh? Meaning, we intended the caravan, but it may be. Allah Ta'ala is now wanting us to fight the unbelieving Quraysh. So the companion said, we are not able to fight the enemy. We only intended the caravan, meaning we haven't even come prepared for battle, Ya Rasulullah. That Allah said. He asked again, same response. Thereupon Sayyidina Al-Miqdad ibn Al-Aswad radiyallahu anhu, he stood up. He said, in that case, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we are to fight, we shall never say to you what the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to him. And he recited Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 24. فَذَهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَاهُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. You and your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala both go ahead and fight. We shall now remain sitting here. Abu Ayyub, he said, we the Ansar, we earnestly wish we had said what Miqdad had said, for this would have been more beloved to us than having an abundance of wealth. So stop in the report. So they hesitant. So Miqdad is one of the senior muhajirun. And he beautifully said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will never say to you what the people said to Musa. And he recited the Quran because he knew that the Prophet loved the Quran. And what does Allah the Almighty quote the Muslims say to Musa? Imagine if it wasn't in the Quran. You and your Lord both go ahead and fight. We shall remain here. Meaning, you go to Jerusalem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the matters done, we'll follow. Because we will never say that. And Abu Ayyub said, if only the Ansar had said that, because we saw the pleasure on the Prophet's face. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was then that Allah the Almighty revealed the following verse of the Quran. Surah Al-Anfal, Surah 8, verse 5. Kama akhrajaka rabbuka min baytika bilhaq wa inna fariqan min al-mu'minina lakarihun. Just as your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala took you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from your home with the truth, whilst a few days after the march, now knowing a full-scale battle is imminent, there was certainly a group of the believers who were unhappy, i.e. for they were initially targeting the caravan and now not prepared for battle. Look how beautiful. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, when he saw what was happening, he revealed this verse. And how does he describe the whole scenario? He says, your Lord took you from your home with truth, whilst there was certainly a group of believers who were unhappy. So you have to add, what does that mean? So Allah Ta'ala goes, I've sent you with the truth, you left with the truth, and some of the believers were unhappy. So the big mistake people make about this verse is that they say the Sahaba were from the very onset in Al-Madinah most unwilling to face the unbelieving Quraysh. So you could misunderstand that verse. So look at the verse. Your Lord took you from your home with the truth whilst there was a group of believers who were unhappy. So if you haven't got any commentary, it looks like before they've left Medina, the Sahaba are, you know, not wanting to fight. But the explanation is they've set out. And then Allah Ta'ala says they were unhappy. Meaning not unhappy, meaning they weren't prepared. They weren't prepared for battle. However, as shown, this most certainly was not the case, but this was a matter decreed by Allah the Almighty. Why? Because what does Allah the Almighty then say? In Surah Al-Anfal, Surah 8, verse 7 and 8, the translation. Behold, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you one of the two parties that it should be yours. You wished that the one unarmed should be yours, i.e. the caravan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will to justify the truth according to his words and to cut off the roots of the unbelievers by ordaining a decisive battle. لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, that he may justify the truth and prove falsehood false, distasteful though it be to the criminals. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? He says in the next few verses, he promised you one of the two parties, meaning you will either take the caravan or you will deal with the unbelievers. Allah Ta'ala says, you wished the caravan, but I wanted something else. Then what does he say? Why? So that the truth will destroy falsehood, much though the criminals do not like this. So the Quran testifies, they weren't intending Baal. The Sahih Hadith testifies further. In Sahih Bukhari, number 3951, Sayyidina Ka'ab ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu said, I never remained behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from any expedition which he took except the Battle of Tabuk and the Battle of Badr. As far as the Battle of Badr was concerned, no one was blamed for remaining behind, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims did not set out for war, but merely to intercept the caravan of the Quraysh. However, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made them confront their enemies without intending to do so. Sahih Bukhari, number 3951. So again, the Sahih Hadith never contradict the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, you intended the caravan, I wanted Baal. Sahih Hadith from Ka'ab, he said, that is exactly the case. We were intending the caravan, but Allah Ta'ala willed the Baal. As the Almighty and Glorious Himself says, in Surah Al-Anfal, Surah 8, verse 42. وَلَوْ تَوَاعَدْتُمْ لَخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِيعَادِ وَلَكِنْ لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ عَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. Even if you had made a mutual appointment to meet, you would certainly have failed in the appointment. But you met that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might accomplish a matter already ordained. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala even gives you the hypothetical. He's basically saying, even if I left it to you would not have fought. Something would have happened. But I had written this and it came to pass. So why have I mentioned this here? Because, a'udhu billah, the Rawafid, they belittled the Sahaba because they were cowards. They never wanted to fight. They were scared to death of the Quraysh. They even said to the Prophet, we don't want to go to fight. And the response is, you're lying, or you've misunderstood. In Al-Madina, the Prophet intended the caravan, clearly. When they set out 1 or 2 days' journey, then the command came. And then they weren't ready for battle. It's not a case of, we don't want to fight. It's, we weren't prepared yet, Rasulullah. That is the reality. Not, they were cowards, a'udhu billah. And the other very interesting point is, notice, in the early Saraya, were there any Ansar? No. Notice the first expedition by Sayyidina Hamza, al-Muhajirun. Second expedition by Sayyidina Ubayd ibn al-Harith, al-Muhajirun. Third expedition, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, al-Muhajirun. Went to Nakhla, al-Muhajirun. Look how interesting. The Ansar were now part of this, meaning Allah Ta'ala did not want them to be deprived of this great and glorious encounter. And not only that, most of them were the Ansar. So look how interesting that is. Never in the early Saraya, but in Badr, Allah Ta'ala wanted them to be more than half of the entire force. So now let's turn to the details. Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 339 of the New English Translation, Ibn Ishaq said, Rahmatullah Alayh, when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reached near As-Safra, a location near Badr, he sent both Sayyidina Basbas ibn Amr al-Juhani and Sayyidina Adi ibn Abu al-Zaghba radiyallahu anhu to scout out the news of Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu and the other unbelievers. So let's break it down. So Rasulullah is heading towards Badr at a place called As-Safra, which is a few miles from Badr. He sends two of his Sahaba. Who are the two? Sayyidina Baswas and Sayyidina Adi. And their job is to spy to see where the unbelievers are, bring the news back. It is further related that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later set out with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu, seeking to gather further intelligence about the Quraysh army that was fast approaching. So why is this important to highlight? Was the Prophet just sitting by? Allah Ta'ala's with this. They can't harm a hair on our head. He sent two spies out, find out about the Quraysh. Now he himself was gone with Abu Bakr, radiyallahu. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq were patrolling the area, they came across an old Arab man. This is in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 343 of the New English Translation, Al-Bidayah 3-323. The old man said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him about the Quraysh army and about the news he had heard about the groups. So the Prophet looked at the old man. He goes, what do you know? What have you heard? The old man said, I will not tell you until you first tell me who you are from. Because he didn't know who the Prophet was or Abu Bakr. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you inform us, we will inform you. The old man said, so is it a trade? This for this? The Prophet said, yes. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The old man thereupon said, it has reached me that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum have left Al-Madinah on such and such a day. And if the one who informed me of this is truthful, then they are today in such and such a place, which in fact is where the Muslim army were on that day. So look how humorous. He doesn't know it's the Prophet. So the Prophet goes, tell us what you know. So he goes, and he's talking to the Prophet, he goes, if Muhammad and his army have set out, if my source is correct, they're going to be at this place. And the report goes, they were at that place. Then he said, and it has reached me that the Quraysh have left Makkah on such and such a day. And if the one who informed me of this is truthful, then today they are in such and such a place, which in fact was where the army of the polytheists was on that day. SubhanAllah. So he must have had some tremendous intelligence. So he told the Prophet, Muhammad must be there, if I got it correct, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Quraysh army must be there. And he was perfect. The old man then said, I have informed you about what you wanted to know. So now tell me, who are you from? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are from water. Upon which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left the old man, who remained confused. And he was saying to himself, did he mean from the water of Iraq? So let's look at this. So when he got the news from the old man, the Prophet then said, we're from water. So obviously the old man, looking at the Prophet's face, knew he's not a liar. So when the Prophet leaves, and he's thinking, what did he mean by that? Because maybe they're Iraqis. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to the Holy Quran, which was in Surah Al-Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Surah 21 verse 30. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. And we made from water every living thing. So what was the Prophet doing? He didn't want to give his location away. He goes, we're from water. The Quran. And also there's a hadith explaining this. In Tirmidhi, Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates, he once was with the Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I see you, I feel so happy and content. It brings coolness to my heart and eyes. Please now inform me about everything. What is the origin of everything? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything was created from water, O Abu Huraira. So look how beautiful. Abu Huraira, he loved the company of the Prophet. Because when I'm with you, because my heart and my eyes are full of happiness. Oh, please tell me about everything. Meaning, tell me what's the origin? Where does it all come from? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything was created from water. Meaning, that's the origin. So the Quran says, we have made from water every living thing. The Prophet confirmed that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what's interesting, they've discovered that to be true. In fact, there's an amazing verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah 21 verse 30, أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِلَا. The translation, Do not the unbelievers see that the heavens and the earth were one solid mass, which we tore asunder, and we made from water every living thing? So Allah the Almighty glorious in this one verse, what does He say? He tells you everything came from a big bang. The big bang is mentioned in the Quran. Do not the unbelievers see? He's talking to the kuffar. Which kuffar? The unbelieving Quraysh. They didn't know left from right. He's talking about these enlightened ones in today's day and age. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ قَانَتَ رَتْكًا فَفَتَّقْنَاهُمَا. That the heavens and the earth were together, which we split. Then he says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ قُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيْءٍ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And we made from water every living thing. Won't they believe? So Allahu Akbar, in one verse, Allah Ta'ala gives you the origins of the universe, and He gives you the origins of life. Question, how could anybody have known that for 1,040 years ago? And who is the verse talking to? The unbelievers. Allahu Akbar. As if Allah Ta'ala is saying, you know, you will catch up to this understanding. So here the Prophet said, we're from the water. And the man, and this also shows the Prophet never lies, Audhu Billah, never. But he said things to cover his location, obviously. Subhanallah. So all I mentioned today was basically now the build-up to the glorious battle of Badr. And very important to highlight that this battle was not intended at all from either side. The Prophet never intended to fight his family, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The unbelieving Quraysh never intended this. But it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I mentioned, the Ansar had now joined, as if Allah ta'ala was honoring them, because He wanted to give them the honor of being amongst the glorious Badris. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa atubu ilayhi inna jami'a subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihat wa asbal haqq wa asbal sabr.